But thank you for grace. Thank you for mercy. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for light. Thank you for the opportunity to learn, to study, to be equipped. Thank you for revelation knowledge. Thank you for insight in the word. Thank you for the glorious light of the gospel. Thank you for every student of this academy. Men and women of God, you are equipping and building up, who will shake the nations with the gospel of the kingdom. And I rejoice that tonight revelation knowledge is gifted everybody under the sound of my voice. Whatever is not planted by God is rooted out. Burdens and yokes are destroyed. This army of men and women are walking in the light, and there is no occasion of stumbling. Thank you for light tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise God. All right, our vision again is to reintroduce Jesus to this generation, equipping the believer to know who you are in Christ, what you have in Christ, and what Christ can do through you. That's the vision that drives us. That's the mandate that keeps us kicking every day. And that is the mandate that keeps us excited always when we see that this light is shining into the nations of the earth. All right, tonight we're continuing with our lectures. And today we're looking at Lessons from David, Part 2. Lessons from David, Part 2. The last time I was in class, we did Lessons from David, Part 1. Today is Lessons from David, Part 2. One of the critical points in leadership is how you handle your own errors. One of the critical points in leadership is how you handle your own errors. How you handle your own errors. How you handle your own errors. Sorry, I was just trying to put off a TV that's making noise close to where I am so that my background is quiet. Now, you will make mistakes in life, and you have moments of indiscretions. And this can be a lesson for you and others. It can be a lesson for you and others. One of the things sometimes that makes us not able to move forward and make progress in life is when you think you are above mistakes. And sometimes you make mistakes and you refuse to forgive yourself and move on. Now, so this can be a lesson for you and others. Scriptures teach us to learn of and to learn from this. To learn of and to learn from these. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 11 to 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 11 to 13. Now all these things happen unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. There are no temptation taking you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape, that ye may be able to bear it. That ye may be able to bear it. We're not repeating last week's lesson. This is a new lesson. Today is lesson 10, week 10. And we're looking at Lessons from David, Part 2. Last week we looked at Lessons from David, Part 1. Pastor yes. Sean, are we on the same page?
Yes, my papa. We did do Lessons from David, Part 2 last week.
Okay, so I just need to continue today.
Yes, papa.
Okay, good. Good, no problem. I still continue from where I stopped last week. But let me just do a quick recap because I always like to make recaps. All right, papa. And then after the recap, we proceed to part. Okay, so we began to look at the fact that nobody is immune from temptation and errors, because no temptation has taken you but such as is common to man. David was a man after God's heart, and we learn a lot from his faithfulness and how he learned to keep few sheep, and therefore he could keep Israel as God's sheep. And we saw a lot of things that happened between David and how he was confronted by the prophet, and how he was humble enough to take his corrections. You know, and we saw that while Samuel ordained and anointed Saul, Nathan didn't ordain David. So really, Saul should have been in better deference than David, but not so for very haughty personalities. Saul was very haughty. He was very proud. David was humble. The Bible called David a meek guy. He was so meek he could accept his wrongs and he could apologize for them. All right, so we went through all of that last week and we concluded by saying David was a sincere man. And Paul teaches the importance of sincerity in ministry. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2, the Bible says, "But I've renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God." No dishonesty, no half-truths, no deceit. We handle the ministry in truth. It is more appalling that some like sycophants, you know, those who will help you with lies, tell you the things you want to hear. And Brother Paul used the word "we," which means you must ensure that you do not build a team of liars or people who will just, you know, deceive and wow you even when you are not doing well. Ken Hagin will say, "Be dead to the praises of men." Dr. Paul Yonggi Cho will say, "The praises of men are like chewing gum. You must chew it, but never swallow it. Chew it, but never swallow it." We concluded by saying a good conscience, a heart that responds to correction, is dead to adulation and men's exaltation. A good conscience, a heart that responds to correction, is dead to adulation and men's exaltation. All right, week 11. Lessons from David, part 3. Lessons from David, part 3. David was a leader. And the most intriguing is the fact that he led from youth. Like most of us, he was vulnerable to youthful exuberances. Yet being young is not an escape route to be unwise. You must be responsible in your conduct. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2, it says, "Flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart." Paul admonishes Timothy severally on this. You must yet show good conduct and worthy of emulation. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12, Paul says to Timothy, "Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, and in purity." You don't need to act your age. You must act in the word. Don't act your age. Act the word. David had certain exemplary traits we can study for our learning. Exemplary traits in David that we can study for our learning. In Romans chapter 15, verse 4. Romans chapter 15, verse 4. It says, "For whatsoever things were written aforetime, they were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope." That we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. We have seen his faithfulness in little things and his sincerity in faults and failures. David had respect and honor for authority, for spiritual authority. Saul was a contrast. Besides coercing Samuel to appear like all was well, Saul was a brutal person with power. He was different from the fellow who related mildly with Saul earlier on. In 1 Samuel chapter 9, verse 21, 1 Samuel chapter 9, verse 21, "And Samuel answered and said, Am I not a Benjamite of the smallest of the tribe of Israel, and my family the least of all the families of the tribe of Benjamin? Wherefore then speakest thou so to me? He had now started leading. Wealth had come, glamour, power, influence, and enough praise singers. Take a note of this. He had started leading, wealth had come, glamour, power, and influence, enough praise singers. When God told Samuel to anoint David, Saul became afraid. Samuel became afraid of Saul. In 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 2, and Samuel said, how can I go? If Saul hear it, he will kill me. Can you imagine? Samuel was afraid of Saul. A prophet was afraid of the king that he made. He will use media influence against me. He will set his ministers after me. He might destroy my ministry. Remember, Saul had clout, Saul had money, and Saul had influence. And God understood the position of Samuel. So in verse 2, the Lord said to Samuel, take an heifer with thee and say, I am come to sacrifice to the Lord. Imagine, God's hitherto servant, now Lord over all. He is now Lord. Remember the admonition that Brother Peter gave to ministers of the gospel. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 3, he says, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. He became the proverbial dog that has failed to heed the master's call. This guy has become more ferocious. In 1 Samuel chapter 18, verse 11 and 12, 1 Samuel chapter 18, verse 11 and 12. And Saul cast the javelin, for he said, I will smite David even to the wall with it. And David avoided out of his presence twice. And Saul was afraid of David because the Lord was with him and was departed from Saul. Saul knew that God was with David, yet he had no regard for that. His ego was king to him. But you see, David, on the other hand, contrasted this. In 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse 25, and he sent by the hand of Nathan the prophet, and he called his name Jedidiah because of the Lord. See, he still deferred to Nathan the prophet. So David treated Saul with more honor and dignity. In 1 Samuel 26, 11. 1 Samuel 26, verse 11. The Lord forbid that I should stretch forth mine hand against the Lord's anointed. But I pray thee, take down now the spear that is at his bolster and the cruse of water and let us go. Take note of this. Number one, he had several chances, and I'm talking about David now, to take his own pound of flesh or write on Facebook to finish Saul off. David had his own chances. Number two, David could have also helped online blogs republish stuff about Saul if he's today. He could. He could have used everything to finish Saul. He had all the details. He had all the secrets in his hands. Yet, he refused. The pulpit must not be used to settle personal scores. Must not be used to say, and that's why I always say to people, even when you hear us teach sound doctrine and we expose false doctrine, we don't attack persons, we deal with issues. In preaching the gospel and in bringing the truth of Christ, we don't deal with personalities. We don't even deal with personal issues. We only stay on core doctrine. That is our focus, to expose falsehood, to expose wrong teachings, and to bring right teachings to God's people. The pulpit must never be used to settle personal scores. Now, much later, Saul was killed in battle. Now, that was a time for David to gloat and salivate victory over a competitor in ministry. That was the time. That was David's time. But David rather chose to honor. He chose the path of honor. He chose the path of excellence. In 2 Samuel chapter 1, verse 4 to 5. 2 Samuel chapter 1, verse 4 to 5. And David said unto him, how went the matter? I pray thee, tell me. And he answered, that the people have fled from the battle, and many of the people also are fallen and dead. And Saul and Jonathan, his son, are dead also. The reporter was assuming this was good news. Such and such church has been closed now. Glory to God. Look at verse 5 of 2 Samuel chapter 1. And David said unto the young man that told him, how knowest thou that Saul and Jonathan, his son, be dead? David asked, how did you know? How did you know that Saul and Jonathan, his son, are dead? David asked, how did you? 2 Samuel chapter 1, verse 6. Verse 6 now says, and the young man that told him said, as I happened by chance upon Mount Gilboa, behold, Saul leaned upon his spear, and lo, the chariots and horsemen followed hard after him. He had details the fall of a man of God. He had details. He took his time to read up, ask questions. He took his time to investigate and do Facebook chat, BlackBerry, and all the different platforms of chatting. He had time to tell tales that brethren mustn't be allowed near leadership. What a curious fellow. Write this in capital letters. If they tell you about others, they will do the same about you to others. If they tell you about others, they will do the same about you to others. You know, I keep these merchants at arm's length as a matter of principle. I do it. I keep these merchants at arm's length as a matter of principle. I have borne their bronze. David dealt decisively with this guy, his own way. In 2 Samuel chapter 1, verse 12, the Bible tells us, and they mourned and wept and fasted until even for Saul and for Jonathan his son and for the people of the Lord and for the house of Israel, because they were falling by the sword. It was not a time to clap and say, you see, I told you so. Look at what Kenneth E. Hagin said. Making your brother's light go dim does not make yours shine brighter. Making your brother's light go dim does not make yours shine brighter. Write this one down also. A candle loses nothing if it is used to light another. A candle loses nothing if it is used to light another. The first one is Kenneth E. Hagin said, making your brother's light go dim does not make yours shine brighter. The other day I was teaching somewhere and I said, Cain killed Abel. But even after Abel was dead, Cain never became Abel. You together? Cain killed Abel. But even after Abel was dead, Cain never became Abel. See that? Making your brother's light go dim does not make yours shine brighter. A candle loses nothing if it is used to light another. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 8, the Bible tells us, and above all things, have fervent charity, love among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. So that means even those who hurt us, we must honor them. We must be a people of honor, and we stay in honor, not because people honor us or dishonor us, but because we are a people of honor. I say to my girls here at home that when people abuse and insult you, it's not because you are a bad person. It is because that's what they have inside them. So never let them make you act contrary to who you are. Never make them make you act contrary to who you are. All that venom they are vomiting is what is their content. It's not because you're a bad person. That's all they have. They can't give more than what they have. So you must realize what you also have. And don't let what they are vomiting produce out of you who you are not. We must honor even those who hurt us. We must honor those who fail. Yeah, they failed. But we honor them. And sometimes it's just sympathy, pure sympathy, pure sympathy, pure sympathy. Romans chapter 14, verse 4. Romans 14, 4. The Bible says, who art thou that judges another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. Yea, he shall be holding up, for God is able to make him stand. Who are you to judge another man's servant? If he fall or stand it, he falleth or stand it to his master. And God is able to make him stand. You respect people and just love them. I know that most times people can be annoying, especially people that preach this rubbish gospel. They can be very annoying. Sometimes they even forget the main issues. They go against your person. But you always must look beyond that. And realize that in spite of all their efforts, they cannot hinder the gospel from making the impact it is making. And that's our consolation. Paul said, whether they preach Christ out of strife or they preach him out of envy, the important thing is that Christ is preached. That's what matters. That's what matters. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 8, he says, finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous. Be of one mind, having compassion one of another. When that happened to Saul and Jonathan, David gave a decree in all the land of Israel. In 2 Samuel chapter 1, verse 20, 2 Samuel chapter 1, verse 20, David said, tell it not in Gath. Publish it not in the street of Ashkelon. Let the daughters of the Philistines rejoice. Let the daughters of the uncircumcised triumph. Note, two takeaways. Number one. There are two takeaways here. Number one, we must not rejoice over evil or a woe that is befalling another. We must mourn. Number two, announcing or advertising it on social media and making it a gist makes it, publishing it in Gath and Ashkelon, it will bring shame on us as well. See that? And that is what, like I always say, we don't deal with persons. We don't deal with human weaknesses and mistakes. We deal with doctrine. We must know the difference. We stay with doctrine. Somebody teaches you cannot go to heaven if you don't pay tithe. We stay on that. Somebody says you cannot, the heavens will not pour rain on you if you don't sow a seed. We stay on that. Somebody says you can lose salvation. We stay on that. See that? We hear that a man of God drank alcohol and fell on the pulpit because he was drunk. We don't make comments. We pray for him. We keep quiet. Because that's not a doctrinal issue. Those are personal faults. Or we hear that a man of God impregnated a lady that is not his wife. We don't say anything about that. We just pray for the person. We have compassion. We feel for him. Okay. But somebody comes out to say that if you don't pay tithe, you will not make heaven. Oh, yeah. You will see exegesis flowing like water. Okay? Somebody comes out to say, God, kill it and make it alive. We deal with the issue. We don't care about who the person is. We deal with the issue. And that is how it should be. I don't allow people who are in dishonor in my leadership. I don't allow them. I make sure everybody around me is somebody who is honorable and honors people. Anybody doesn't honor people, I don't allow them to hang around me because honor is a big thing for me. You cannot receive from the Lord if you are not in honor. Dishonor robs you of God's blessings. It robs you of revelation knowledge. It robs you of everything. David was a man of honor. You know, there was a person called Miriam and Aaron. They were very foolish too. Miriam and Aaron were very foolish. If you study the Bible very well, they were a very foolish set of people. In the book of Numbers, chapter 12, verse 1. Numbers, chapter 12, verse 1. And Miriam and Aaron spake against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married, for he had married an Ethiopian woman. Verse 9. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against them, and he departed. It did not matter if social media follows these questions and answers on Moses' action. As a leader, you must act differently. If you notice well, it took Moses' intervention. See that? In essence, you must learn honor and respect for authority. It doesn't matter what this woke generation of people talk about. Why will you honor men? Why will you respect men? You are idolizing men. That's the word they use. No, it's not idolizing people. That's what the Bible teaches. We honor men. We respect people in authority. See that? You respect people in authority because that is the way it works. You honor men, you walk in honor, you respect men in authority. Why do you have to respect men in authority? Because that is the way it works. We're people of respect, we're people of honor, we're people that have found favor with God, we're people that have enjoyed God's grace and God's mercies. So what do? We respect and honor people. And when we walk in honor and walk in respect towards God's people, when we live lives that are honorable towards God and towards men, we attract the blessing of Jesus. The Bible says he could dare do no mighty works in his hometown because the people were in dishonor. The people dishonored Jesus. The Bible says they even ask, is Jesus not a carpenter? Are not all his sisters with us? And they were offended in him. Once you begin to act out of honor, it is easy for you to get into offense. Offense. And like I always say, the word offense means to be off and ended. To be off and ended. You short circuit yourself, you rob yourself of God's blessings when you're walking in offense, when you're living in offense. You rob yourself the blessing, you rob yourself the grace of God. But when you're in honor, honor will always receive from God. Honor will always receive from God. Those are lessons to learn from David. In spite of all that had happened, David never walked out of honor. Even Saul, his arch enemy, who was looking for how to finish him, when David had the opportunity, David said, God forbid that I should lay hands on the Lord's anointed. David knew that the Spirit had left Saul. David still said he is God's anointed. At least once upon a time, there was oil on his head. I will never allow myself to be used against a man that God once had his honor upon his life. As ministers of the gospel, as ministers of Christ, as people that are learning to preach this gospel of Christ, these are lessons we must learn. They are written for our learning. They are written for our examples. They are written for us to emulate. We are followers of those who, through faith and patience, obtain the promise. I can boldly say, since I started ministry till today, close to 40 years now, I have never been a party to any conspiracy to bring anybody down. Conspiracy to bring any man of God down. Conspiracy to take advantage of anybody that was in their weak moments. If anything, I've always been a pillar of strength for people that are weak, a pillar of strength for people that are struggling in ministry, and a pillar of strength for people that are falling. I have never lended myself to any conspiracy of any form. Why? Because even when people misbehave and do wrong, make wrong decisions, I still see them as people whom God honored so much that Jesus died for them. God honored them so much that Jesus died for them. And if anything, I will look for opportunities to help, opportunities to rebuke, opportunities to correct, and to restore. That's honor. We honor the brethren. We honor men. We honor men whom God has honored. And when you do that, as a leader, you put yourself in a position where you continually produce fresh water. You continually produce sweet water. You continually are a blessing and a source of inspiration. Praise the Lord. Those are lessons we're learning from David. Those are lessons we're learning. Because in ministry, we will come across circumstances as such. We'll come across situations of that nature as we keep doing ministry and serving God's purpose. And we must know what to do when such situations come up. We must know what to do when such situations occur. Praise the Lord. There's a man of God that used to be very close to me. And during COVID, during the lockdown, I discovered he was struggling very seriously in life. Struggling. So I reached out to him, supported him and his family throughout the period. It just was a blessing to him and his family. But then I discovered that he was going behind me and telling all the ministers that were loyal to me that I don't know anything. That even this doctrine I'm teaching, I don't know it. That can't they say I don't really know much. That even the things I'm teaching is the one teaching me. That I don't know anything. Well, oh Lord. He was going around. He even deceived one guy till the guy invited him to come and preach in his church. And he charged him a lot of money. And the guy told him that the only reason why he's bringing him to his church is because he's looking for how to reach me. He wants to invite me. He wants to host me. He loves my ministry. He loves the grace of God upon my life. He told the guy that the only way he can get me is by bringing him first. Then when he brings him to his church and treats him well, he will now use that story to convince me to preach for him, that because I don't preach for people anyhow. And this guy brought him to his church, gave him a lot of money, took care of him, apart from the one he raised and took. And yet he didn't bring me to this guy. After a while, he still told this guy that he has to bring him again, that because what he has done is not enough to convince me to preach for him. I didn't know all this was going on. But he kept telling me that a number of preachers, because I even put him on my TV broadcast, made him did some teachings on TV, and a lot of people who love what I do but couldn't invite him, decided to invite him since they saw him with me. Now, when I finally found out what he was going around telling people, I just decided that, okay, since you know doctrine, you know everything, you're the one teaching me. Let me give you space so at least you can fulfill that your ministry. I will not use my mouth to run you down. I will not attack you. I will just withdraw and give you some space so that you can really do this, your ministry that you know very well. I teach this doctrine that you are teaching me to the world. So rather than dishonor him, I just pulled back left him and just stayed quiet. And that's it. It's better to go that way than to confront some people and disgrace them. Since he is not teaching something that contradicts what I'm teaching, it's just that he's trying to make people think that I'm small, he is the big one, and he's using my name to extort and collect money from people in the name of ministry and in the name of bringing them to me, I just gave him some space. And I still maintain that space till today. And I'm very happy. At least he has opportunity to prove that ministry and teach that doctrine that he knows very well. Let the whole world be blessed. That's what matters. See, it's very important never to get tempted to walk out of honor or into a place of dishonor. Because it's very easy. People can be so nasty sometimes. People can be very overbearing sometimes. And if you're not careful, you will come down to the ground with them and play that bad play, which you are bigger than. You don't need to. You got to stay where God has placed you. Stay focused. I've always told you guys, I don't know if it's in this academy or in church, both praises and criticism are all distractions. Both praises and criticism are all distractions. And the illustration I always use is, let's say you're in a race and you're running very well and you're leading the race. And people start clapping for you and they're screaming, wonderful, wonderful, that's my guy, that's my guy, that's my guy. And you feel happy. And you stop the race and you come out of the ring. And you shake them and tell them, thank you, wonderful, wonderful. And you go back to continue the race. By the time you do it two times, you'll be the last person. You'll not only take number two, you take number zero. Because you were distracted by praises. Okay, let's say you're running and somebody's saying, look at his scale leg, he can't even run well. Look at his scale leg, he can't even run well. And you say, excuse me, you leave the race and you go to fight. By the time you finish fighting, you come back to continue the race. You're distracted. So both praises and criticism are distractions. Keep your eyes on the ball. Stay in honor. Serve Christ. And no matter how people hurt you, refuse to let the hurt get into you. Refuse to be offended. Make up your mind to stay on the side of God and keep being a blessing as much as you can, whenever you can. Praise God. Let's pray. Father, thank you tonight for this class. Thank you for every student of this academy, men and women whose hearts you are shaping, whose hearts you are preparing, whose minds you are equipping, whose minds you are building up. I ask that, Lord, each one in this class, the glorious light of the gospel shines in their heart and minds. Ministers of the gospel, able ministers, men and women that will preach this truth of the gospel like never before. I decree that tonight, each one here is empowered, strengthened with might by the Spirit in the inner man. Christ dwells in your heart by faith. Each one of you is rooted and grounded in love. I decree that you walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. I call you fruitful unto every good work. You are filled with the knowledge of God's will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. I decree that you are delivered from wicked and unreasonable men. The mandate of Christ finds expression through you. You receive boldness to proclaim the truth of the gospel like never before. And in the name of Jesus, I decree that you are a battle axe in the hands of God, a weapon of war. With you, God will thresh down the kingdom of darkness and dislodge every satanic installation. With you, the purpose of God, the glory and the grace of God will be made manifest to those around you and to the world at large. Great grace is upon you. You are kept, you are preserved, you are sustained. You enjoy the comfort of the Holy Ghost and you walk in the light of his glorious path for your life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise God. Praise Amen. God. Praise God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
All right. The assignment for today, I'm going to get the assignment for today to Pastor Sean so that Pastor Sean will put it on the platform. I got so busy, I didn't prepare that assignment. So you get that assignment before tomorrow midday. It will be on the platform. Pastor Sean, do we have a platform?
Yes, Papa, we have a platform. What's a platform for everybody? We'll send
you. Okay, so I'll send you the assignment and you just post it later tonight.